Hey, how's it going? If you're new here, welcome. Something Shifted is about identity after interruption. It's about who we become after a life quake hits and the stories we tell ourselves when everything changes. And I think you're gonna like it here. My name is Sean, and this is Something Shifted. Today's story is about a stillbirth and belongs to Marlies. Please listen with care.
I cannot live in the past. I've been given a future. Yes, it's without her. I would have loved her to be here, of course. And that's a daily process.
That's next. Right after this. If you're one of those people that believe rest is a luxury, we can't be friends. Real change is exhausting, and even when your mind is ready, your body has kept the score and it can't keep up without proper recovery. So I've started taking Solol's magnesium glycinate. It helps with muscle energy, nervous system support, and I'm honestly feeling a lot less fatigued. You can learn more about Solol and their full range of supplements for healthy aging on Solol, solal.co.za. When you meet Marlies, three things are immediately evident. One, she is very beautiful. And my wife, Rue, who is the executive producer of the show, has told me to say that. Two, Marlies has exquisite taste.
Well, everybody knows my passion is fashion.
And three, her faith is at the center of all she does.
Fashion is just what I get to do. But I also see it as an instrument to minister to women and to help them, because it's a thing that women struggle with. It's their self-image, and I could talk about that because I struggled with it for so many years, with deep, deep insecurities.
And here, Rue would like me to tell you that a personal style session with Marlies really boosted her confidence. There is something so incredibly gentle yet enthusiastic in Marlies' manner that she can coax you out of your self-critique and into clothes and colors you would never think to try. Marlies is Capetonian through and through.
Ooh, northern suburbs. Afrikaans, amazing.
And she credits her love for the arts and fashion to the woman who raised her. Her grandmother was an art teacher, and her mother's wardrobe became her first stylist playground.
I love decor. I love anything beautiful and making things beautiful. I just got to choose the fashion one.
After school, Marlies chose to study at AAA School of Advertising.
I was going to study interior, but yeah, ended up in advertising, which is really helping me till to this very day. It made me understand branding and how to brand, not even yourself, and how to position yourself or other brands.
You may even have seen some of Marlies' work while flipping through a magazine or watching shows like Top Billing, Espresso, All Access, and Parcella, where she's dressed local and international celebrities. And if you ever see Rue wearing anything but black, that's the power of Marlies' influence. They were both in their late 20s when Marlies and Chris met each other through mutual friends. And it was a true meeting of souls who shared the same values and dreams. In fact, Chris ticked all 49 boxes of Marlies' secret list of an ideal partner. Like many newly married couples, they began building a life together filled with hope and expectation. One of their biggest dreams was to become parents. In 2013, Marlies sadly experienced a miscarriage on Mother's Day. The couple continued to hope and pray and were therefore over the moon when a few months later they were pregnant again. This time with a little girl. They named her Gia.
Which means God's graciousness, gracious gift.
And like many first-time parents-to-be who have longed for this season, Marlies wanted to do it right.
And I did everything by the book, health-wise, you know, don't eat this, don't do that. And, you know, some doctors can say, no, you can still have this, you can still have that. I'm like, no, I'll just cut it out. But I lost that, my appetite for coffee. Can you believe it? I remember the day I put that cup down and I was like, that is the last one. I cannot take the smell or the taste of this. Oh, the sushi was hard to give up. I must be honest. Okay, that's the one I remember, the sushi. That was hard. But I didn't have any cravings, really. I craved sparkling water and apples, I think.
That was not our pregnancy journey. Rue craved potatoes all the time. The saltier and the more vinegary, the better. In fact, I couldn't chop potatoes fast enough and had to resort to bags and bags of those pre-cut frozen chips just to keep the cravings at bay.
And I absolutely couldn't stand sweet things. I couldn't even smell or look at tarts and puddings and stuff, or even people eating it. So that was also a blessing in disguise. I'm like, thank goodness. So it was a pleasant, pleasant journey, y'all.
Now, as someone who only had the privilege of observing a pregnancy, I find it amazing that some women enjoy the experience, or at least have fond memories of this incredibly intense physical metamorphosis. Rue also only remembers the good parts when she reminisces, completely forgetting the nausea, her carpal tunnel syndrome, and difficulty breathing. For her, it lives in her memory as a magical time.
I loved it. I loved it and everything that went with it, the growing, the uncomfortableness, the itchy skin, the nausea in the beginning, and everything was healthy. I had a beautiful pregnancy. I really remember talking to God about it and praying over, you're dreaming, you're really dreaming, and you're really falling in love and feeling your child. And every scan, seeing how, you know, you can physically see now all angles, how your child's growing. And I felt like $1 million. I was smiling from ear to ear wherever I went. And then at the end, where you start walking like you said you never would.
And Gia was loving it too.
She was a little bundle of joy in my tummy already. So some of her scans, she was just jumping up and down and joyful.
Of course, given her eye for style, Marlies had created a beautiful nursery in anticipation of Gia's arrival. So the room was ready, Marlies and Chris were ready, and Gia was almost ready to join them. During her pregnancy, Marlies experienced Braxton Hicks contractions at times, those false labor cramps that start preparing the body for birth. They're normally short, 30 to 60 seconds long, and they don't get closer together or stronger. So when she felt some slight cramping during the 39th week of her pregnancy, she wasn't all that alarmed.
I was quite familiar with it, but it felt very intense. And I was like, oh, maybe this is the time it's happening.
But eventually it settled. 2 days later, it was officially 1 week before Gia was due. And something had changed.
Something in me knew, but I didn't want to say anything.
Marlies and Chris made their way to the hospital close to home. It was June and the roads were wet, maybe. Marlies can't recall. But she does remember the breathtaking silence of that drive.
I was quiet. It's like you didn't want to think. For those few minutes, you don't know how to think. You don't know what to think. I kept thinking, Lord, you rose an army of skeletons, gave them flesh and robed them. All you could think is, can she just move? Can she just move?
On arrival at the hospital, the parents-to-be were ushered into the emergency room with its harsh lighting, flurry of activities, and loud noises in the background.
I remember seeing the first scan, because this was just quickly in the emergency, and the nurse, not being from the maternity ward, she said, let me just go get someone.
When the nurses started the sonar, all ears were strained, listening for Gia's heartbeat.
By that time, I knew. We did hear something, but I knew it was my heart.
After all, Mom is at every scan. And by now, Marlies could recognize the heartbeat she was hearing as her own. Once again, the silence became deafening. The electric hum of the overhead lights was the only sound anyone could hear.
Then they said, let me quickly just go up to my gynae. They took me up and they got another gynae to come in and just confirm everything.
Marilise, Chris, all of the medical staff were all hoping for a different outcome.
But you could hear, yeah, there's nothing. There's nothing you can see on the scan. There's nothing. And then her words was just to me, sorry, Marilise. And I remember the first thing I said when she said to me, I screamed, I love you, Jesus. Chris completely collapsed. It's the worst to hear that. The trauma that hits you is, it takes everything out of you, really. It is like a, how can I say, like a tornado of emotions spinning around in a room. And the doctors need to manage it in such a way that they need to cope now with this as well. It's traumatic on doctors as well. Although in that moment they have to be strong and, you know, they have to just continue with the process and to guide you through it.
After the worst possible moment, when your world shatters, all you can do is move from 1 minute to the next minute.
From there, they took me to, you know, in a wheelchair, and they take you to a ward and prepared you. And I remember family coming in, my pastors at that point coming to visit and pray for us.
Marilise moved from one terrible moment to another in a daze.
In that point, what do you do? What do you say to someone? How do you manage this? So there's a lot of emotions to deal with, and you sitting with your child inside of you. It's a lot to deal with in that specific moment. Yeah.
And while she was trying to deal with incomprehensible loss, Marilise needed to make decisions, while only being able to choose from a list of terrible options. Ultimately, she chose to be fully sedated while they delivered Gia via C-section.
Chris did say to me, I want you to see her while, you know, her body is sort of still warm. They'd address her and they'd bring her to me. But I remember in that moment that I wish I was more awake because I was so drugged. I can't remember clearly. She was petite, very petite, dark hair, beautiful.
Just like her mom.
Everything was perfect. I would love to have had that moment for longer. Even, I know it sounds, some people might think, but to have had more photos even, to have had something, and it's not that you hold on to the past and go back. We all love looking at our children and go back to their photos every birthday.
When Marilise and Chris were dreaming about being parents, the plan was to leave the hospital with a healthy baby girl. Instead, they walked out of the hospital doors into a reality that they hadn't prepared for.
So it's a reality that doesn't make sense. It's really like in a movie, a horror movie that you're walking into. You almost didn't want to leave the hospital because you're really stepping into reality. Now with leaving on the day of the hospital and the car chair that's empty, the car driving, the way that you would have had that baby in the back of the car, it's surreal. It is living a nightmare. It really is. It is a pain that you've never in your life felt. It is a loss that is so intense that you weren't ready for, ever. No one should lose a child. It's almost like a 24 hours of blank, but yet chaos. There's so many emotions that's running through you. You don't even know where to put it. You don't even know what to reach out for.
Even with all the support from your loved ones, there is something so isolating and alienating about loss. The horror movie that you walk into isn't necessarily filled with monsters. It's more like a grayscale version of The Stepford Wives or The Truman Show, because life looks normal, but somehow the color has drained from the world. And people continue doing normal things. But you've seen past the veneer, and you're forever changed. But somehow, you still need to participate in life, do normal things, interact with normal people. But it feels like you're performing a role you once played effortlessly. And now you're reading from a script you no longer believe in.
I didn't want to leave the house for a month and a half. I didn't go into the shops where people would know me for years or knew that I was pregnant because I didn't want to have people ask me where's my child and then having to constantly go through that. And so many things just go through your head. And at that point, I don't even know if you know you're coping or whether you're living or whether, because it's the worst reality, what's happening around you. And it's beyond, but you never prepared for this, never.
But even if she could avoid the questions and sympathetic head tilts for a while, Marlies couldn't live in a bubble forever. She had to learn to smile when her heart was breaking, in conversations where others would vent about the challenges of parenthood.
The baby that mothers always complain about, the baby that's screaming that you have to stop halfway because there's a bottle, or the baby vomited, you miss all of it. All of it that you wanted is completely stripped of you. You get married, you fall pregnant, you didn't even struggle, you're grateful because we know how many people struggle with falling pregnant, all of that. And the last thing you expect is to have a stillbirth, to sit with your child's lifeless body in your arms. And to hear a doctor saying, sorry, that changes everything. It changes the entire picture that your world. You knew having a baby and a child's going to change your life. And we all know that. But to lose a child is definitely life-changing in every way. I never understood, and it's not that it's something that you want people to understand. When we say that your heart is aching and it's broken, it aches. It aches in a way that you've never experienced. And I don't say this to a lot of people, but it's almost like you were aware of every part, every cell in your body, and everything was aching. At that point, you don't know how to continue with life. But that is now, 11 years later, that is my story.
The deep feeling of missing out on something you wanted so badly stays with you. For Marlies, it meant learning how to live with answering the same questions over and over again. And even more than a decade later, the questions never fully disappear.
Because people would say, but how could this happen to her? She's a Christian. You know, people would say things like that. And how do you process even that?
Marlies processed it one moment at a time.
I said to God, I'm just struggling. I've got to process it because my favorite scriptures that I prayed over her doesn't make sense to me right now, but we'll work it through. You get used to, this is my story. I have lost a child, like many people in this world have lost a child, children, but I do live in this world and things do happen. And I cannot go back to what if I did that wrong and I've been there. What if I just didn't? Why didn't I go the Tuesday? What? But that holds you hostage. I cannot live in the past. I've been given a future. Yes, it's without her. I would have loved her to be here, of course. And that's a daily process. And it's your child. It will forever be my daughter that I've lost.
Gia might not have taken a breath in this world, but she has forever changed Marlies's life.
One thing I've learned with Gia, grace for people. Because people would say the weirdest, oddest, worst things, but to have grace because they don't know. You have to look at the heart of what people are actually trying to say and forgive them for the wrong that they're saying and what the lack of what they're not saying. Forgive people for not being there where you wanted them there, because people sometimes just don't know how to deal with loss and what to say to you.
Over time, and anchored by their faith, Marlies and Chris slowly learned how to carry their grief alongside their love for Gia. It wasn't about moving on, but finding a way forward together. And along that journey, new joy found its way into their lives too, in the form of their son, Christian, born in 2016.
He is joyful. He is delightful. He is everything. He just makes my heart sing. Like, he's actually very good at his orals and stuff like that. He gets very good marks. He's a little communicator. I love him so much.
And Gia is still very much part of their family.
He knows about her. When he was old enough, we told him about her. And he's intrigued about the story. We share it. I share it always with him in a delightful way. I don't focus there. I don't camp there. And there is days where he will go, I wish I had a sister that was here. It would have been fun if Gia was here. I'm like, I know, right? Imagine how we would have laughed. I don't mind people asking me about Gia at all. The thing is, the story is not about me. It's not about me getting attention. It's not about, oh, how did you deal with it?
It's a story about the healing from inconceivable pain and finding beauty in the ashes.
As I walk through the darkness, as I walk through that place, you don't camp there, you don't stay there. Don't become that. That is not your identity.
These days, Marlies lives a life guided by her faith. Fashion is still a driving force in her work as she mentors ageless style and beauty. With a coffee close by and a life full of passion, laughter, and grace, she's a reminder to us all, as much as we try to move on from pain, the truth is we move forward with it. If something shifted has moved you, made you feel seen, or simply kept you company, the best way to say thank you is to leave us a 5-star rating on your listening platform. It takes 5 seconds and honestly means the world. Subscribe so you never miss a human-centered story, and check out the show notes for the Something Shifted soundtrack playlist, a compilation of songs we've listened to while making this season. Songs that make us feel a little less lonely and a lot more empowered. Many thanks to Rue, my executive producer, for additional writing on this episode. And as always, thank you for listening. Bye.